Like, thank everyone for joining the call. It's now time for the beginning of our call. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister, co-host Brother Anthony Flunder, my assistant minister, Brother Horace Brown, on behalf of the Highland Heights congregation, located at 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We're excited, super excited, to do this first time ever gospel meeting with 20 preachers, 20 nights, and 20 soul-saving, simple but powerful gospel messages. Again, I'm Brother Tom Brooks, the host minister. We love you all. Thank our brothers and sisters in Christ across the nation for joining us. And especially want to say welcome to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that we believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. I believe when you spell B-I-B-L-E, you can say it's believer's instructions before life ends. If a person believes this book, they can be saved. This book has the answers. But Jesus, unfortunately, for the world, Jesus has let us know already, many will go the wrong way. But few would find the straight and narrow way. We're seeking you to be among that few. I'm bringing our co-host on at this time. Brother Anthony Flunder, he'll open us up in prayer and he'll introduce our speaker for tonight, Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. At this time, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and for this blessing and for this opportunity you've given us on this evening to be able to declare your divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, for the speaker of the hour, that he have a ready recollection of those things that he has prepared. We pray, Lord, that there is someone listening this evening who's has a ready ear, who is truly seeking the truth about your son Jesus and his church, that they hear something this evening that perhaps they may obey the gospel for the saving of their souls. We pray, Lord, for this gospel meeting effort that we have been blessed to have. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless us and pray for many, many more listeners to join this call. We pray that this grow beyond the confines of this country, but around the world. Lord, we believe that your Bible is right and every word of your Bible is right. We pray, Lord, for those listening this evening that they will as well. At this time, in your son's name we pray. Amen. Let me say good evening to everyone. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas. We are thankful to have everyone who is on the call this evening. We have another fantastic speaker by the name of Brother Richard Oldham. He is the preacher for the Lee Street Church of Christ out of Midland, Texas. Speaking from the topic, the truth about true worship, I present to you Brother Richard Oldham.
I would like to say good evening. I want to thank God, first of all, for allowing me to be on this program tonight and for the host minister, Brother Tommy Brooks, for inviting me, and I'm just honored to be on here tonight and just praying that y'all will study along with us, those who may not be members of the Lord's church, that you may study with us in the fear of the judgment to come, knowing that the Bible is going to be God's standard. My topic tonight, the truth about the true worship. I want to take my reading from John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse number 23 and verse number 24. And the Bible says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." This all arrived from Jesus being at a well in Sychar when a Samaritan woman came up to him. She came to draw water. And Jesus asked her for water, and she was surprised of him being a Jew to ask water of her, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus was talking to the woman about if she knew who he was, that she would have asked him and he would have given her living water. And so she replied and says, give me this living water that I no longer have to come to this well and drink. And Jesus told her to go and get a husband and come. And she said, well, I have no husband, but Jesus told her, you've had five husbands, and the one who you are now with is not your husband. And she perceived him to be a prophet. And she began to change the conversation. And she said to Jesus, she said, you know, in this mountain is where our fathers worship, but you say that in Jerusalem is where one ought to worship. And Jesus told her, he said, woman, he said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And when Jesus mentioned to her that the hour was coming, now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, Jesus was giving her heads up that he was getting ready to go and die and to bring in a new covenant where everything would be made new. When you look at the Gospels, you'll find that our Lord and Savior was taken through six different trials. He was taken to three that were secular trials. Three of them were religious trials. And believe it, that the religious people were the ones who accused him of blasphemy, and they said that he need to die. He should be put to death. So Pilate allowed him to go out and to be scourged with a whip. And they whooped our Lord. They beat him. They beat him unrecognizable. And then they took him out and they showed him to the people. And they asked him, who do you want us to release unto you, this man or Barabbas? And they chose Barabbas, who was a murderer, to be released instead of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He went out to Golgotha's rugged site. He was nailed to an old rugged cross and hung up and dropped low. And he hung there on that cross all day long. And it was such a powerful moment that all of the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus had been fulfilled. Even when you think about the prophecy made by Amos, when he made mention, when would the Sabbath end? And the answer to that was, when the sun go down at noonday. And when Jesus hung on that cross, the Bible tells us that there was darkness over all the face of the earth. And that was a prophecy that had come into fulfillment. And I'm glad that our Lord and Savior didn't stay dead when he was buried in that grave. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 28 that Jesus rose from the dead. When you look at verse number 18, he didn't just rise, but he rose with all power in heaven and in earth. The Bible tells us in verse 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And by Christ's death, the old covenant was done away. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 through 17. The Bible says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. With the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled, the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. But where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all why the testator live. And we understand that when Christ died, that it did away with everything under the Mosaic law. We look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14, where the Bible tells us, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The anonymous Hebrew writer quotes from Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. He quotes over in Hebrews chapter 8, in verse number 8 through 13, but we'll begin with verse number 6, where the Bible says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that, he says, a new covenant. He had made the first old. Now that which decayeth and wax old is ready to vanish away. So we see that now Jesus has all authority. He died to earn the right to have all authority. He says in John chapter 12 and verse number 48 through verse number 50, he says that he that rejects me and receive not my words hath one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, therefore, whatsoever rather I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. So we can find that it's important to listen and to obey the words of Jesus, and if we are not abiding in the teaching that came from Jesus, then we really don't have God or Christ in our lives. Look at 2 John verse 9 through 11. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. For he that abides in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. And then he says, if anyone come unto you and bring not this doctrine, don't invite him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus talking to some disciples, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Where do we go to in the Bible to find out how to obey the words of Jesus? Well, I would say in the New Testament, of course, which teaches the doctrine of Christ. We are now living in a time when true Christians are expected to offer the worship under the law, the true worship. Because when we look under the law of Moses, we'll find some things that's not allowed today in true worship. Under the Mosaic law, the worship under his law, it dealt mainly with material rituals consisting of material tabernacle, a temple, a priesthood, sacrifice, meat offerings, drink offerings, mechanical instruments of music and worship, new moon, the Sabbath days. But to worship God in spirit is not an unfeeling, unthinking ritual. It is worship in the spiritual house directed to God, who is called in our text the Spirit, and it's from a grateful expression of the soul. And you can say amen if you can. And not only that, but when we look at our New Testament, we find that there are four different types of worship in the New Testament. We can find that there's vain worship in the New Testament. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through verse number 9, he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Vain worship, doctrines of men being taught. And then we find over in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 23, that there's a such thing called ignorant worship. This ignorant worship, Paul says in Acts 17:23, "As I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" And then we find over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 through verse number 23, that there is a such thing called will worship. And will worship, in the scripture it says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which thou art to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which thing have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Now, when I looked at Vine's definition for the word will worship, Vine says will worship as voluntary adopted worship, a worship that is forbidden by God, in which worshipers feel confidently that God will accept while realizing that they do not have an authorization from God's word. This is the exact opposite of worshiping in truth. And then in our text, we see that we have true worship. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, Jesus say that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does true worship look like in our service to God? Well, there are five items of worship that we have when we come together collectively to worship God. We know that we have a day-to-day worship should be a part of our lives each and every day as we live with a sanctified life toward the one and only true God, the one that kept us from dying, that adopted us as his sons and daughters in the Lord's church. But in our worship collectively, we have preaching, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, where the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continue his speech unto midnight." We have praying in true worship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17, it tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, Paul says, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. We have offering that we give of our means that God have blessed us with during the week. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and verse number 2, where Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And then you must have the right attitude, the right mindset when you are giving to God. Or it's not accepted by God anyway if your heart isn't right. The Bible tells us in verse 6, Paul says of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. He say, every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we understand when we give to God, that we give to him cheerfully. We already have purposed it in our heart before the first day of the week even get here. And then there is singing in our worship. We know today that there are those who have choirs and praise teams and bass miking, and they are going all outside of worshiping God in spirit and in truth, because truth is according to the standard, the word of God. John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. Look with me at Romans chapter 15 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19, he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, we know that melody is music, but he says, not to make melody on the organ, not to make it on a piano, not to make it on a drum, not to make it on a git fiddle in the middle, but he says, make melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, what God wants from us, he wants us to use the instrument that he gave us, and that is our voice. That is our lips. Colossians 3:16. In verse number 17, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that just means to do it by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Notice what the scripture says. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. What is true praise to God? Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. James puts it like this in James chapter 5 and verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. So we understand that we are supposed to sing in the worship service to God and not play anything. When we are playing anything, that means that we are adding to God's word. And many will say, well, the Bible doesn't say that you can't have instrumental music. Well, when God tells you what you're supposed to do, he don't have to tell you what not to do. So just follow his word, because God's word is going to be the standard. And then the other item of worship is communion. We are to remember the pain, the suffering, the blood that was shedded out on Calvary's cross for our sins. Jesus did it, and he did it all alone. We often sing a song that he suffered all alone. Jesus went through pain for you. He went through that pain for me. He allowed himself to be mistreated. He had power to pray to his father that his father would send him 12 legions of angels. But he chose to suffer. He chose to die that we could remember him, remember what he did for us. We can live holy lives each and every day, sanctified lives, lives that are set apart from the world. Acts 20 and verse number 7, we know that Luke writes here in verse number 7, he says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, he say, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. You know, we have those who may come together once a month or every other week, some even once a year, to take the communion of the body of Christ. And you know, it's sad to know that is as often as you would like to remember what Jesus did for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through verse number 30, we can find these words here. He says, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he says in verse 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, this communion that we come together every first day of the week, and we do this in the Lord's church every Sunday. We don't wait to Easter to try to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection every Sunday when we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper. I've had some of my friends that are in denominational churches, and they would tell me, they'll say, well, Mr. Preacher, they'll say, you know, the Bible just says upon the first day of the week. It don't say which first day of the week. But we have to use common sense when we study the Bible. We know that every week has a first day of the week. And it's funny because they don't understand how important that communion is every first day of the week. But the same first day of the week, they'll take your money. Every first day of the week. And they'll tear the Bible up, going over to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7 to show you upon the first day of the week you come together. They'll take you to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1 and 2 and persuade you and clean your pocket out, telling you why you ought to be giving upon the first day of the week. But the same first day is in Acts chapter 20 when the disciples came together for partaking of the Lord's Supper. But their eyes, for some reason, get dim on that issue. And my time is up this evening, but I know we got a hard hitter coming up next Thursday night. One of my preachers I listen to all the time, Brother Don Blackwell, great gospel preacher. But if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing God's word, believing his word, repenting of your sins, and then confessing your faith in Christ Jesus, that you believe that he is the Son of God, and be baptized, and that is for the remission of sin. And after you come up out of that water, you must be faithful unto death. The Bible tells in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. Well, may God bless you, and we love you. And we're not an arrogant group of people in the Lord's church. We're just a group of humble people that just believe what the Bible says. We love you, and may God bless you. I'll turn you back over to the host.
Thank you, my brother. We are very appreciative for the beginning of our study on true worship. We have three other speakers that will speak on this subject every Thursday night. True worship, the true worship. There's only one true worship. And we have heard tonight the beginning of this study. If you are on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're saying we in the Church of Christ are following the pattern of worship that's in the New Testament. And that is the acts that he's mentioned tonight, singing and praying and taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, preaching the word of God, those type of things and giving. We will put more emphasis on this. Each speaker will talk about true worship on Thursday night. So we're thankful to have you on the call. We pray if you're on this call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ that you will obey from the heart this form of doctrine, believing that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died and suffered on that cross, and be washed in his blood in baptism, that the Lord may add you to that church, his bride, his wife. She's called the Church of Christ. With that being said, we pray if you're on the call and you have not been baptized, you're not taking the Lord's Supper recently. Identify yourself because you're not a true worshiper. We speak the truth in love. And the least we can do after all God has done, send his son in the sorrow, the pain he went through, at least we can remember him as he commanded. This you do in remembrance of me. And be true worshipers as described in the New Testament. At this time, we ask Brother Flunder to come on, and we ask him to come on and announce our upcoming speakers. We're excited about the upcoming speakers. We're so excited about all of our speakers. But we just believe we got a lineup of great speakers every night, Monday through Friday for this whole month, and he's going to come on and announce our upcoming speakers. But if you're on the call and you want to just know this call is recorded, you can go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net, and every call is recorded. You can download it, share it with your friends and family. You can also email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you want to be baptized, get in touch with us. We'll get you to the closest congregation near you, and they'll get you baptized even tonight. You just call us, let us know, contact us, and we'll make sure that we take care of that baptism for you. Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you, Brother Odom, for that message. On tomorrow night, we have another fantastic speaker, the host minister of the Gospel Call and the preacher for the Church of Christ at Highland Heights, Brother Tommy Brooks, will be speaking on the subject, the truth about the gospel of salvation. On Monday, May 11th, it'll be the assistant minister at Highland Heights, Brother Horace Stroud, who will be speaking on the truth about baptism. On May the 12th, it'll be Brother Mel Futrell from Birmingham, Alabama, who will be speaking on the subject, the truth about the one church. On May the 13th, on Wednesday, it'll be Brother Tim Ellaby from Round Rock, Texas, who will be speaking on the subject, the truth about the sinner's prayer. On Thursday, May 14th, from South Haven, Mississippi, will be Brother Don Blackwell, who will be speaking on the topic, the truth about true worship. And on May the 15th, from Luling, Texas, Brother Al Washington will speak from the subject, The Truth About Salvation. We continue to prepare our lineup week after week, so continue to support this effort as we update our list. At this time, I turn you over to the hands of Brother Horace Stroud, Assistant Minister of the Highland Heights Church of Christ. Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flounder, and I want to thank Brother Odom for sharing with us that when it comes to worship, you have worship that can be done ignorantly, worship that can be done in vain, worship that can be done according to someone's will, but the only worship that is acceptable by, accepted by God is true worship, when we worship God according to spirit and according to the truth. We're thankful tonight for all that on the call tonight. And we ask you, as hopefully you've been on the call each night, so far you're 4 for 4. You've been on each night. And our goal is to not see 2020, but to hear 2020, to hear 20 messages from 20 speakers on 20 nights. We thank you again for your support, and may you encourage others to join us. Those VIPs will be those that are outside of the Lord. Those are friends, family, and enemies as such we have. We still want to invite them because our love for them is to obey the truth. And then for those that are members of the Church of Christ, wherever you are throughout this country, we thank you for being on this call, supporting the call. And each night, we hope you will do the same, Monday through Friday. This time, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, thankful for what our ears have heard, what our hearts are made to believe. Let us pray. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thee again, the Lord, with our heads bowed, our hearts lifted up with thanksgiving. Thankful for your manservant, who in his simplicity shared those things in your word, what is true worship, the five acts of worship that he has given according to the scriptures. And for that, we're thankful. We're thankful, dear Lord, for those that are on the call, and if it be one that are on the call, dear Lord, that have not obeyed your will, we simply ask that they will open up their hearts to those things that are written in the word, and that they'll render obedience to that message that was preached, the gospel, and become Christians like we were done in our past to become children of yours. We're thankful again for Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder, the Lord, who have coordinated this nightly session, Monday through Friday, and also reaching out to those speakers from throughout this great land to speak on the subjects that have been given to them. We ask you, Lord, that you'll give us a peaceful night, a tonight of rest, allow us to work, wake in the next morning to do those things that are set before us, and to allow us to make time in our schedules tomorrow night again to be with others to hear your word preached on tomorrow. We thank you again for all your many blessings. Again, thank you for your manservant tonight. Thankful for all that are on the call. May you be blessed by the word of God. This prayer we offer in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let us all say amen.
We thank you all for joining us on behalf of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights. Our family, we thank you for your support. May God bless you and keep you. Have a good night's rest.